I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Kyle Madsen has stepped out momentarily. I can see there's a giant thing on the board that says big announcement. And maybe Kyle will talk to us about his big announcement. Maybe he won't when he comes back. To fill in, we've got Jerry Reynolds. Jerry, what's going on?
Well, you know, tough to fill in for Kyle now, I say that. But I'll do the best I can. Yeah, what's going on? There's nice rain here in the area. We need it.
Yeah.
I don't always like it, but we need it.
I'm with you. So. And you filled in for much bigger people than Kyle Madsen before. I mean, you did once fill in for Bill Russell.
Yeah. Bill, in all honesty, Bill, you'd have to put him a little ahead of Kyle on the chart of basketball and sports legends.
That's true. He's just slightly ahead. I'm trying to fix my camera really quick. Sacramento Kings laid another egg last night. This is a fourth game in a row they've lost at home on their five-game road trip, the five-game homestand. It's the third game out of the last four they lost by 30. Something feels like it's missing. And like as someone who's been through these situations, how difficult is it when you're in it to look at the big picture and say, what is it that's causing us to have these problems and how do we get through them?
Well, you know, as far as, spotting the problems is not that hard. Getting through it and solving them is the hard part.
Yeah.
You know, because in my mind, and back as I was having a conversation with Jeff Petrie just about an hour ago and visiting about a lot of things. But anyway, because he was asking me, you know, he hadn't watched the game, but asked me, you know, what happened with the Atlanta game? I said, well, it's actually pretty simple. Atlanta had long, athletic, young, active players, and the Kings had small, non-active, older players. and it's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it comes down to a lot of times, right? It's not about the talent level. It's about the fit of the players.
Yeah, the Kings have some very talented guys that could fit in on different teams and different roles, and be valuable.
Yeah,
but they basically need them to be something they're not on this team. And then plus, you know, you've got still too many guards, and then older, and then the age thing. I mean, and the one thing about a lot of weaker teams or teams is that they're younger and you assume they'll get better.
Yeah.
But with an older team, you can't assume it's going to get better.
No, that's a problem, right?
Yeah, that's God's plan with all of us. As you get older, you don't. I mean, even myself, I'm not. I'm older, and I'm not better.
I think you keep getting better, Jerry. Well, I think you do. No, I think you do.
No, I know for a fact I don't. But and Mrs. Reynolds will verify that. But that's
Kyle is walking back in the door. Jerry, when you're looking at this again, like, how do you reach a team? How do you reach individuals when it gets to this point? And how do you make it so this thing doesn't just slide right down a really dark hill?
Yeah, there's several things you can try. I mean, in other words, as you know, I'm a big Doug Christie fan, and I'm fully supportive of him. But he's in a very difficult circumstance. But I think the first thing you do is appeal to their professionalism. You know, just remind them you've signed a professional contract to play basketball, mm-hmm. and to play it at the highest level that you can, which means effort is a given. We don't need to talk about giving good effort. You know, that's a given. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The fact that we're talking about it means you're not really upholding your end of the bargain. I'd start there. And then once you get into that, is basically you've got to let guys know that, we may not be able to, some teams are maybe better than us, but at some point you still got to produce and play at a productive level or as well as you can, or I've got to take you out. And I've got to, and I really think that's exactly with this team. You got to start jerking some chains quicker. I thought that he did that in the first quarter last night, getting Keon and Carter and Neek Clifford in the game in the first quarter. And those 4 minutes of the end of the first quarter was the only good minutes the team played as a team the whole game, really.
Yeah, totally.
And just because they brought in, you know, a lot of, you know, tried to play defense and played with a lot of energy. But I think with a team like this, that's what you have to do. With the veterans, it's like, yeah, you're veterans and you've proven a lot, but we can't have you out there if you're going to, you know, sleepwalk, you know.
Is it a realistic thing to just say, hey, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, like you're not starting tonight. Neek Clifford and Keon Ellis and Sabonis, you're sitting. Drew Eubanks is going to start. Like, you have these guys who are either have been all-stars or are on their way to the Hall of Fame, whatever it is. Is it realistic to actually just sit down and go, all right, hey, Sunday against the Timberwolves, you're not starting. We'll come off the bench, but you're just not going to start tonight. Is that?
I don't think that's realistic. I mean, what I do think is you've got to give veterans a longer leash.
Mm-hmm.
You just do.
Sure.
Because once you, if you totally pull that lease,
right,
they're done.
Yeah.
And you're done because those are assets you maybe want to move.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't want to double the whammy.
Sure.
But I do think that, yeah, you can set them down and it should be individually,
mm-hmm.
you know, not in the media or anything, mm-hmm. just as man to man, and explain, look, I'm going to go with you a while. But at some point, you have to play better and more productive, or, mm-hmm. or we will certainly limit your minutes.
Sure.
You know, Jerry.
So.
I wanted to let you finish. But Doug brought your name up on, let's see, Tuesday night. He had a very interesting, like, two-minute pregame opening where he you know, basically laid it out there. He wasn't happy with all the noise from the outside. Mm-hmm. And I agree with the point. Like, there are coaches that have come here that, you know, they fall in love with Sacramento, but there are only a couple of people like himself who played here and lived here for a long time. Yourself, who was a lifer with the organization, Rick Adelman, who was here for 8 years, that really feel what it is to be part of Sacramento. And I could tell he's embarrassed by the way his team's playing, but also he was angry about what's on the outside. How difficult is it to, you know, to push all that stuff out and not let it be part of your pregame and of your media experience? Because I'm sure over the course of your career here in Sacramento that people wrote bad things about you in the newspaper all the time.
Yes, they did. And deservedly, I think, for the most part, when they did. I wouldn't argue that. But, you know, it's so different now with all the internet stuff, you know.
Social media.
Yeah, and people that just really do like to just be mean. Mm-hmm. You know, I was fortunate in the sense that, you know, with the media and all, certainly at that time, though, the news media was more, you know, TV and radio and newspapers were really focused on the Kings a lot more than they are currently, mm-hmm. you know, where we had daily press conferences and things. Yeah. So I always said, yeah, if I thought I was being treated unfairly, I would just go to the person directly. And can we sit down and have a talk? Not that we could always solve it, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel like I wanted to go in, you know, press conference about it. But yeah. I would just say, oh, James, I don't think that, I think you were accurate. And some cases, you know, I talked to guys and I talked to them and like, yeah, you got a good point. So, you know, I mean, just try to be man to man with it in those situations.
Was there ever a time or was there a media member that if they raised their hand in a press conference, you're just like, ah, like,
you know, I can't say there was. I mean, there are people, you know, that you didn't really, you thought not that they were out to get you anything, they just weren't very smart.
Sure. Yeah. You know, why you look at me when you said that?
No. You know, they just, I mean, that they just didn't really understand the game very well, you know, mm-hmm. it's one of those things.
Sure.
And so, you know, you, like I say, the old Ron White joke, you just can't fix stupid,
right.
But you can try to be nice to it.
Being diplomatic, I think, is probably one of the more difficult things. And to be honest, I don't think Doug was very diplomatic on Tuesday. I thought last night was a lot. I don't know if you've seen his post game from last night.
I did, yeah.
It was a lot more on brand for him. Mm-hmm. And that's who we know that is Doug Christie and fiery. He's going to hear from the league, I guarantee, for using profanity. But overall, that's kind of more what I hope that he focuses on is that fire and like how you direct. Because when you see him talk like that, my instant thought was that's exactly what he's telling the players in the locker room.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. I mean, that was more Doug, you know, the Doug Christie that I know and love. And,
yeah.
And I thought everything he said was good. And you know, I think the previous press conference, we're talking about the haters, this, that, and the other. You know, I just think it was a kind of a probably had built up in him. And I don't know that it was even something that he thought about before he went in or sat down and talked. You know, it just kind of hit him a little bit. And I think a lot of us, you know, I've had my moments like that too, but just I think I was pretty good about not ever doing it the same way. It would be, you know, I might throw a fit in the training room or something.
to kick something.
Yeah, get it out of my system type thing, yeah.
Is that a real thing? This is just kind of a mechanical thing, but is it a real thing that, okay, tough game, maybe a stretch of tough games, like the Kings have lost three of their last four by 30-plus. Coming after last night, does everyone sit down in their locker and the coach goes, okay, I'm now going to address the team. Guys, that wasn't good enough. Or is it just kind of you walk in and coach just kind of starts talking and everybody listens?
Well, you know, there's different ways of doing it. I think most coaches, and I use, say, Rick Adelman as an mm-hmm. example because he's the best that's ever been here mm-hmm. by far. And now if a game like that, and they had blowouts, mm-hmm. you know, sure. I mean, they didn't have them at home, by the way, but, you know, and I mean, every good team has blowouts, but mm-hmm. I've always said even some of the real bad teams over the years, and I was involved with a lot of them, none of them happened at home, hardly. You'd always yeah. played well at home. Close mm-hmm. games. You get yeah. beat, but you'd play close. Then you get buried on the road. but anyway, I think the way, you know, Rick handled it, and I, to be honest, I did, and I was Gary St. Jean and different guys I know, you really wouldn't talk. There's nothing to say at the time that's mm-hmm. going to work. That's sure. going to be of any value whatsoever. That's for next day film session. Break it down to where you can show them you didn't get back here.
Mm.
We can't have that.
Right.
You know, this was a bad, you know, you took a bad shot here. There's no reason for that shot.
Right.
Type thing. You know, I mean, and then, you know, try to find a...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. and the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Good thing. Boy, Keon, that's great. Hustle at play there, whatever. You could find, I always say, my background in education always said, you know, if you want to make a point with a negative thing, come up with two positives first. Now, in a case like last night, you can't do it. You might find
one. You all put your uniforms on. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you all got here on time. But you certainly still, guys will listen better if you can find a positive to throw in there, not just beat them.
Yeah, for
beat
sure.
Beat them up.
Although, like you said, it might be tough after last night.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah,
we're going to step aside. When we come back, Jerry, we want to pick your brain on what happens next, because clearly
it's been picked.
Clearly the Kings are ready to blow this thing up a little bit, and we need to go through some of the mechanisms of what NBA trades actually look and feel like. We'll lean on your expertise a little bit here. We're the insiders here on ESPN 1320. We'll be back in just a second.
And James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Jesse Toppy on the ones and twos, and Jerry Rundlund. Here we go. We're going to try that again. We'll fix it in post. James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Jesse Toppy on the ones and twos, and Jerry Reynolds in the building. Shout out Jerry, man. Thank you for coming by. By the way,
glad this I could. Great. Always being great. Always fun being with you guys. Yeah. Always.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to talk about the Kings.
That is the unfun part, yeah.
Which is tough. No, but I was trying to, again, purple glasses a little bit here. I'm trying to find anything that's not, they lost by 33 last night. I had said earlier in the show, at some point they're going to win a few. At some point they'll string together 3, 4, 5 wins. Things will look better. The vibes will be a little bit different. And you go down and we're talking about the first 19 games of their schedule. But after they get back from this road trip, they get Minnesota, who I don't think is like unbeatable.
No.
Minnesota's a tough matchup for the Kings, to be sure.
Length, athleticism is a problem.
But not an unbeatable squad.
No.
And then you get Phoenix, who again, better but not unbeatable. Better than we thought they'd be, but not unbeatable. Then you get Utah, which is not a great team, who you've already beat this year. And then you've got Memphis, who's in disarray. Like, if you told me, the Kings won all four of those, I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be like stunned.
No.
And if they win those four, like all of a sudden we're going, okay, now what did they figure out? What are they doing different? What are they doing better? And that's just where when you start talking about there's 70 games left. It's like, man, one little stretch like that to end November and the entire scope of the next 2 months feels different.
Yeah, you don't play Denver and Oklahoma City 10 times.
Right.
Yeah, play both of them 3 times in the first, like, 12.
Yeah, the sooner you get them out of your schedule, the better off you are. But you're right, Kyle. I mean, it is one of those things. I mean, what you really, in my mind, want to come out from where they are is just go back, get back to at least playing like you played against Denver. I mean, they played a very good game against Denver, except for 4 or 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, you know, which surprised me like it probably did you guys, you know, where Jokic was off the floor and Denver really broke the game open right then, which how could that happen? But it did.
Yeah.
But overall, they, you know, if they played that well against some of the teams you're mentioning, those would be wins.
For sure.
Yeah, and I'm looking at ESPN has a strength of schedule so far. The Bulls have the toughest strength of schedule so far at 598. And initially I thought, oh, well, the Bulls were winning, but they're not anymore. They've dropped to 6-5, right? So the second most difficult strength of schedule to start the season is the Sacramento Kings, a 590 win percentage against. 590. The next one is all the way to the Lakers at 561 and then Portland at 550. You go down to the bottom of the list and there's the Phoenix Suns showing up at the easiest strength of schedule so far at a 420 strength of schedule. Part of that's because they played the Kings, who aren't playing well.
Sure.
But overall, their schedule isn't that difficult. The second easiest strength of schedule so far, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, because they've played the Kings multiple times.
Well, and they don't have to play themselves.
They don't have to play against themselves. You know, Jerry, like one of the discussions we want to have today is because I do think they're heading towards blowing this thing up as much as they can. Like, I don't know what they can get for any of these players, but when you're going, because you've worn so many hats, what is the sort of the way that you get the ball rolling on trade season? How do you approach? Do you have phone calls out to all 30 teams and you're hoping some call you back? Or is there a small group of teams that you've just kind of circled and said, I really love these players and I'm going to go see if I can get those players? Or how did you attack sort of the trade area?
Well, I do think, you know, even regardless of your, you almost want to have constant contact with teams, even if you're not considering really changing things massively, you know, because you're always looking to, or should be looking to improve your team incrementally, which means a trade maybe, as opposed to maybe 3 or 4 movements, which is probably called for here. So you want to talk with all the teams. And I've always thought one of the better ways, and I always used to get some advice from Jerry West for one. I thought, you know, as a more young person in the league, why not try to learn from the guys who are the best?
Yeah.
You know, and he always said, well, one thing you want to do is don't, when you call, don't automatically start talking about players. You know, try to just visit about the league in general. And you know, have generalizations and say, well, we like, and you might mention certain players on the team that you really like. And if you're thinking about doing something, you know, we have some guys that we would consider with the right deal. You know, just make generalizations, never anything.
Passive-aggressive Jerry West.
Yes, yes. And so, I thought it made a lot of sense. And so we always try to do it that way. And then usually the other teams then maybe over, you know, not likely to go, yeah, let's make a deal today. You know, not like on Moneyball or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
But then, you know, you're staying in contact and the team would say, well, you know, we do have some interest in, you know, Joe Fiduzel over here and we got Elmer Fudd over here and and there's something we might could do.
Whoever's getting Elmer Fudd in that trade is a swindling. You got to throw in at least 2 first for Elmer.
I got to be honest, he does not have the length or athleticism that you're looking for.
Yeah, but Elmer's got that dog in him.
I mean, he got the, and he could shoot, spot you, man. Spot you.
Oh, that's awesome. Is there although Scott Perry and the Kings are in a little bit of a different spot because it's less, actually, I don't know. Maybe that's my question. Is it more about in this situation going, okay, who do we think has value and we'll make calls? Or do you look at the Grizzlies? Let's just say they've got their eye on Ja Morant. And they go, okay, that's a player we're going to target. Or maybe it's Trae Young. Or maybe it's somebody on the Nets. I don't know. and you call them because you're trying to target players first before you're just trying to get off of contracts. Am I making sense? Did that make sense?
Well, I think I do. I mean, I think you really want to be aware of the wounded antelope.
Okay.
You know, which right now the Kings are a wounded antelope. You know, if you're a lion, you're looking for the easy prey.
Sure.
And so teams that are struggling are more likely to want to make moves.
Sure.
You know, probably you're not going to. You want to stay in touch with Oklahoma City, but they're not going to do anything, and you know
probably not. Yeah.
So at least not likely, but sure. But so it's just part of the doing the job, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Memphis or Washington, or there may be more likely something there, or Brooklyn, some other teams that are struggling, but they have a piece that might interest you, make you better.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's your, you know, just like quite honestly, teams would be, they are watching the Kings. Mm-hmm. Not they may be watching, saying, "Nah, that guy might be available. We don't want him." You know, sort of thing. But I think, you know, I think you and James are talking about the problems the Kings have, and really, it's to me, they don't have cap room. A lot of their assets they'd like to move are older,
mm-hmm.
under fairly significant contracts, and so many teams don't have cap room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so there again, it's like fans, well, trade so-and-so. Well, yeah, but even if you wanted to give them away, they'd have to have a lot of cap room to take them. And so you're not going to get for the most part, you can't just trade somebody and get a first round back, because they'll have to send you players maybe you don't want back.
Yeah.
So it's a tougher thing. I was talking to somebody today on a podcast, and is that I said the thing when the Kings were able to turn it around so rapidly back in 98-99, you know, everything kind of fit. It was at the end of the year, Eddie Jordan was coaching, you know, a team that wasn't very good, and the only star was, or two good players, Mitch Richmond and Brian Grant, and were both injured at the end of the year, and they lost, like, I think 19 out of 20. The low ebb of everything, coaching change. Okay, Rick Adelman, right guy. You know, you mm-hmm. could have made a mistake there, but you had cap room because you lost Brian Grant to Portland didn't want to match a contract that probably was too high. Portland smart. They paid mm-hmm. more, you know, because you have to pay more to get somebody else's restricted free agent. But the cap room was there. That became Vlade Divac. You had an asset. A real asset to trade, Mitch Richmond, that people wanted, a lot mm-hmm. of people wanted.
Yeah.
And you got a younger, better asset in Chris Webber, okay? And you also had, at the same time, two lottery picks coming in at the same time. Peja Stojakovic had been drafted the year before, stayed mm-hmm. in Europe, came over, Jason Williams. So you had two. So basically you remade your team in one off season,
right.
It actually had more than an off season, and then plus a coaching change. So it all fit. Now, normally it doesn't work that way, but I mean, if you at some point you have to have all those things in place, you're going to have cap room to get free agents.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to make at least one really good trade, at least one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you don't always get, but you're going to have to draft and hit the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did all that, say, between now and the summer, they'd still be probably a year away. You know, you know, that team even took a while to get over 500. That with that bunch, people forget that. But
it was a strike shortened.
27-23 was the record.
Yeah,
and they were under 500 until near the end of the year, and of course were really getting good by the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, each year. Then goes to 44 wins, 55 wins, 61.
Right.
But there are additions. You know, there again, it goes back to having assets that are tradable. It's like we'd had Corliss Williamson, who's really good and played on that 27-23 team, 44 win team.
Mm-hmm.
He became Doug Christie.
Right.
Well, I always said, I mean, as much as I love Doug, Doug wasn't better than Corliss. He was different. In the right fit. Just like Mike Bibby wasn't better than Jason Williams. It actually wasn't probably as good, but he was the right fit.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those are the kind of things you got to do too, which I think that's where they missed on,
yeah.
Even with the moves that have been made recently, a lot of are been bad fits.
Yeah, and that's you it. Talk about, like, when you're describing the 1998 offseason, it feels really similar to the original Beam team. Like, you made mm-hmm. the Sabonis trade late in the season. You picked up Trey Lyles in that trade mm-hmm. in another small trade. But then you get to that offseason. You make the good trade, which is Kevin Huerter. You make the good draft pick, which is Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. You make the good signing, which was Malik Monk, mm-hmm. because you had just enough under the, you know, under yep. the cap to do it. So you pieced them all together in one offseason. And it really did feel like the 1998-99 season, where all yep. of a sudden you have like this epiphany moment, like, oh my gosh, we got something.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them fit together. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it work. And then you didn't do the next trade.
Yep. The next step they didn't do.
They didn't do the trade, what you're talking about, the coreless take of a player who's playing well, but you need someone who does yep. something more at a different position and go get your Doug Christie. You didn't go get the Mike Bibby trade. You didn't go add the little pieces along the way that would make it all work. And I think that's where, like, we're left with this, like, really sort of unsatisfied feeling about how the way that whole, you know, this window closed so quickly.
Yeah, it felt like the Chris Duarte addition was their move. They went, oh, he shoots threes, he plays defense. Great, that's what we need. We'll just do that, and now everything will be perfect. Oh, he might also start over Kevin Huerter, and that's going to be a thing, kind of. It was like that was their move, and just,
Yeah, no.
In retrospect, it's like, oh no.
Well, even then, I think most of us, and I know James and I have talked about this, but at that time, a lot of fans said, well, if they could need more length, you know, need another long mm-hmm. athletic wing, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying they didn't know that or didn't try. I don't know, but it's clear that's what you needed.
Yep.
And that's what the folk. And here we are several years later, and you still need that.
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, I also, there's a huge percentage of the fan base are just like, hey, just throw it all in and let's just be bad and let's just go get picks and go get young players and start over. You are the one overseeing the 1990 reset of the Kings, where you traded Danny Ainge, you traded everyone that you could possibly trade. You came up with, what, the 7th, the 14th, the 19th, and the 21st pick?
Yeah, something, I think it's 23rd maybe, instead of 21st. But yeah, I had four first-rounders. We'd change coaches, and that was kind of with Dick Motta. He wanted a new team.
Yeah.
You know, kind of wanted a new team, a young team. And so, actually, the draft wasn't that bad. I mean, we made a mistake with Travis Mays at 14. I think probably the Causewell really wasn't a mistake. He wasn't as good as we wanted him to be, but and Anthony Bonner was quite good for a 23rd pick.
Yeah.
Had good careers, you mm-hmm. know. So at the end of the day, is they all had careers except Mays, but we converted him to Spud Webb, who was good. So,
yeah.
But the point being, and I know what the point is, like, they weren't ready to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like I always say, the process in Philly. If they hadn't got rid of Sam Hinkie, they'd still be going through 18-win seasons waiting for the waiting for the lottery. You know, until they got somebody that was willing to make trades, go after free agents, add to the youth, because at some point those draft picks, unless they're superstars, even if they are really good, they're going to age out. And you can't pay them all.
So
it's got to be a combination. You got to get free agents. Well, look at Oklahoma City, the greatest example. They know exactly what they're doing, but they've gotten, you know, they picked up by trade Caruso. They trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, where would they be without him?
Mm-hmm.
They added, I think, they got Hartenstein as a free agent.
Oh, yeah.
So just to say, oh, well, they just built through the draft. No, they didn't.
No, especially
a lot of things go right.
Lou Dort was not their draft. He was drafted by Philly.
And the crazy thing is, too, you know that for that, the Paul George trade, they still have the Clippers pick this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. They still have picks from that, and they've won a title.
that's my number one thing. The most valuable, one of the most valuable franchise builders in history is Paul George. He made Indiana better by leaving. They got Domas and Oladipo. He made Oklahoma City better by leaving. He made the Clippers better last year by leaving, by just leaving.
Tough look for Paul George.
So if you want to get good, get Paul George and lose
and then let him go. Trade all the picks for Paul George. Do it, Scott.
Jerry's secret plan.
When you said it was Dwayne Caswell, I believe, was the player you said. Good player, but not quite as good as you right. hoped he'd be. As a GM or as a coach, when do you know? Like, at what point?
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Do you just kind of like, uh-oh?
Well, I think you suspect pretty accurately within the first year, but it's also true you could be wrong. You know, you don't want to. Patience is a virtue, especially with centers and point guards.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it's hard. Those are harder positions. I always say that's why I was so frustrated when they gave away Davion Mitchell. I was just convinced, given proper time, mm-hmm. he could be good. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's pretty good with Miami right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, but to answer your question, you probably have to be almost in the third year to be sure.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of cases you can know pretty accurately sooner than that. Now, like with Causey, the thing I'd say, you know, we knew he would be a good defender, pretty good defender, which he was because he could really block shots.
Mm-hmm.
And but we thought he could develop a little offense, and which he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, I know Pat Riley and the Heat, paid him a lot for a lot of years. So, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't like he didn't belong in the league.
Out.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
He just never got really better.
Yeah.
And that's what James and I've talked about. That's what you can never really know. I mean, in other words, I always say two of the most amazing players that I've ever seen are Curry and Steve Nash, because they were 3 years into their careers before you even thought they were good.
Right.
And then another year or two, and they became great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, how'd this happen? These guys became greats.
Yeah.
And then for other guys, they look good early and don't get any better or even go down. Or it's like, so you can't, you know, some people choose to work hard. And, you know, Gilgeous Alexander's a great example. I mean, obviously the Clippers are a pretty smart organization. They didn't have any idea that he'd become one of the premier players in the world.
Yeah, for sure. Can't imagine they would have done the trade if they knew.
No, especially all these picks.
Jerry, you're the very best. Thank you so much for hopping in with us again today. We love having you around, man.
Well, thank you anytime, and always enjoy being with you guys, listening to the show. And for the most part, I agree with you a lot.
My man.
Yeah, you know, which
makes me feel a lot better.
Okay.
See you guys. Thanks, Jerry.
We get the handoff coming up next.
Yep, that's it. D'Lo and Casey are going to join us next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento. Hey, I got the handoff coming up in just a second with D'Lo and Casey. With Casey.
He was there, and then he's
not. I would like to continue talking about Kenny's car trouble for a second, if that's okay, because I feel like your car trouble has an easier solution than the Sacramento Kings do. And so let's talk about the rodent that was stuck inside of your car. Sorry, hang on. Let's get you situated. Sorry, I threw that to you too early.
In my wife's car.
So there is a rodent living in the car.
There was.
On accident. Not on purpose.
Not on purpose from us. Okay. Maybe for him.
You weren't housing a rodent.
Yeah, no, okay. No. Cool. But yeah, shout out to my guy Parrish. You know, big supporter of Sac State Sports over at Elk Grove Audi. Shout out to my guy. That's my guy for real. He made sure everything went smooth. But yeah, there was a sensor that came on in the car. And it was like, all right, something about the starter. I sent him the picture. It was like, yo, what do you know what this means? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's probably something. The starter's not connecting to the computer, yada, yada, yada. I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, bring it in. It's all good. Then he texts me. He's like, yo, you know, should be good to go in the morning. Mm-hmm. Cool. Get up there in the morning. He's like, did you get my text? I was like, nah, I was just driving. I didn't even see it. Yeah. He's like, they fixed it. It was a mouse. It was a mouse inside the hood of the car. And they were, you know, and like you talked about, James, luckily they didn't start chewing through the wires because that's a very, very expensive fix.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't. Like he
Great.
Seemed like he was just like kind of nestled, trying to find warmth or whatever. I'm assuming he didn't make it, but I'm assuming.
Was executed as soon as he was taken out the car.
I don't know.
Audi car dealership and extermination service.
Well, he's Audi here.
Nice, dude. Come on. Let's get ahead.
I'm assuming he didn't make it when I started driving. It's been like 2 days of this.
Okay, so two things. Number one, they like the heat. So when the car's cooling down, they're like, oh, I'm going to go ahead.
Fans.
Yeah, exactly. Second, we have, I had this problem with the garden, right? Mm. There's an influx of mice this year. And I read that it's because of for whatever reason, there was a massive acorn year. And so,
of course,
the mice.
Why wouldn't there be? It's 2025.
Have unlimited food source because there's so many acorns.
Oh, and so they be
fruitful and multiplying.
Nice.
And so all of a sudden, we have tons of mice everywhere because of the acorn issue. And so there's like a huge acorn drop. And that's why they're everywhere. I've never had a mouse in my garden at all. And they ate like 17 cucumbers. Zucchini. I had these incredible zucchini plants that are like producing nonstop. I'd come out.
Probably because of the acorns.
It's like, you know.
Bro, they were eating good at James's house.
I'm getting like a full size cucumber, and right in the middle, half of it's taken out. Oh, where they just sat there and snacked on my.
That's tough.
Just ruined everything.
That's tough. Look, I don't like mice.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like mice, I don't like rodents. I don't do
if
that.
If you're tuned into this, going, why aren't they talking about the Kings? Because this is preferable right now. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Well, I mean, and clearly, like Kenny had a mouse in the house The Kings.
Technically, it was in the driveway. That's where the car was.
Yeah.
Mm.
So hopefully we stopped it before. I mean, I
couldn't fit in the 8-car garage.
I got my. There's no 8-car garage, sir. Like, it's just a regular.
It's 6. Garage. Relax.
Oh, yeah. That's my bad.
It's a side
hopefully,
garage.
Hopefully, my guy Nick. I think it's about time for him to come through and do what he has to do as far as laying down traps or whatever. It's my guy Nick. He's my pest control guy. I think he listens to the show too. Shout out to my guy Nick.
Oh yeah.
What
pest control?
My pest control guy said,
I mean, it is Terminix. I don't think we have competing ones. So, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Salute.
Yeah, shout out.
Tell him to set a trap under the hood.
Yeah.
Set a trap around that damn house. Nothing should get through.
You versus the animals has been a pretty crazy ongoing battle.
It's a war.
Over the years.
It's
a
war.
Whether it be squirrels, like, you killed a squirrel damn near.
No, I didn't kill him.
You mafia'd a squirrel. You broke his legs and then sent it off.
No. Yeah. No, that's not what happened. I mean,
you tell him what happened here.
The mouse trap did that. I didn't do anything. I didn't do nothing.
Who said the mouse trap, Kenny?
It was lying there. He didn't have to walk into
it. It was just lying there. He just happened to be there.
He didn't have to walk into it.
Came with the house.
He didn't have to walk into it. Yeah. He didn't have to. He could have skirted around it.
I think Kenny's had squirrels at one point. There was a Ring video, I think.
There's definitely a Ring video.
We have squirrels out on the back deck. And they run around, and they like to mess with the corgi. So if there's a squirrel running around on the back deck, we'll yell anywhere in the house, "Hey, your squirrel friend is here," and you can hear the corgi run to a window and go nuts, like trying to get to the squirrel.
I didn't know squirrels. I mean, I guess it makes sense. They climb up trees. But I didn't know they climb up the side of the house, like stucco and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, squirrels. I mean, I'm not like against squirrels, but I don't like how they do that.
I don't like how squirrels move. They're just kind of shysty.
I don't like that.
They're too comfortable.
I got my eye on these squirrels, man, because I don't like that, dog. I don't like that. All right, Rachel, relax. Like, bro.
Oh, yeah, what's the bird story?
I didn't do nothing to the birds. How many? What's your bird body count?
Yeah, what's the bird count?
It was like 3.
That's crazy.
I didn't do anything. Hey, I literally didn't do anything.
Raise your hand if you have murdered more than one bird in your life.
How did I get pinned with this? Okay. I didn't do nothing.
More or less half a bird that you've killed. I'll take the less on mine.
I didn't do anything.
I will take the
other. I just looked and
cool,
they're
dead.
Oh, yeah, we got 2 of them. Yeah, wow.
Cool, man.
Let's see, James. Well, hey. What happened, James? What'd you do?
One time I was...
Bird serial killers over here.
When we lived in Berkeley.
Damien, if you've not killed a bird, you can't be in this room.
Did you kill a turkey?
Yeah, he killed a turkey.
I didn't kill a turkey.
Wait, he killed a turkey?
It was a turkey egg.
What?
No.
That's a shoot?
That's what the story's developed into now.
No, I did not kill a turkey. That's cap. I don't know how Katie got rid of the turkey, but I didn't kill it. It didn't even happen while I was home.
Did or did not a turkey bird egg perish on your property?
No, that did not happen. A turkey dropped an egg that was already...
you just dropped the body there, son.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. Yes.
You got framed?
I got framed.
Turkey said,
going to be miserable on our
See, what
who
they
framed Damian Barley?
What they weren't counting on is we had video. We have video showing the turkey dropping the egg.
Oh,
it's on
wow,
Instagram. This lives. This is on social media. My hands are clean on this one.
So, look, I was driving into...
Glove didn't fit.
UC Berkeley. I was
goddamn right the glove didn't fit.
That's right. I was driving into UC Berkeley, dropping Sarah off at school when we lived in Berkeley, and there was 2 small birds chasing a big bird, and like clearly they had messed with the nest or whatever. Uh-huh. They flew right into the car. So Sarah doesn't catch it though, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what just happened. I drop her off. I come back. All 3 of them laying there like bowling pins.
Oh, my God.
Right in the middle of the street.
What is with people?
I have no idea what happened.
What is with people?
I got all 3 of them in one boom.
That's James just minding his business. And just
yo, that's
3 birds just dive bomb into his car.
I killed 3 birds with 1 car.
It's the all-timer. It's not a secret, but it's still utterly amazing. The Randy Johnson pigeon. Oh, yeah. Incredible. I can't believe. We'll never see that again.
My favorite thing about that has been on, like, I'm not on TikTok, but Instagram Reels. So I get the TikToks like 3 weeks after they come out. Yeah. And I'm on Instagram Reels. The youth learning about the Randy Johnson killing a bird moment and making Reels and TikToks about it has been a revelation.
Dude, I saw Halloween. Hilarious. I saw a Halloween costume of a guy in a Randy Johnson uniform, and his girlfriend was the bird.
Yes.
Now, right. That's crazy.
Right. The youth are Settle just down. Learning about this thing.
Settle down, Halloween people. I don't know if that needs to happen.
Got Turkey Sports Talk Radio going. I'm not going to say his name, but I'll say his initials. D. Lowe.
I didn't do nothing to those turkeys.
A seagull almost took my hand off at SeaWorld when I was feeding the seals.
What?
Yeah, no, I was just dangling the fish
what
out.
What is it with you guys in birds?
We all got bird stories. You got a bird
I
story?
I don't have a bird story.
I don't rock with no birds, though.
No, yeah, after
bird,
that.
Me and birds.
After that, guy's like, yeah, please good. Don't dangle the Stay fish in front of them. The seals.
Stay away from them. Hey, speaking of TikToks that are, they come on the reels late. And all
I have a good stuff. Speaking of. Go ahead.
Oh, you guys know what Saiboom means?
What?
Yes, I learned that from the Chatty House.
I think he played linebacker for Sac State in like 2010.
Yeah, yeah. I learned this over the weekend what Saiboom means. The kids are saying
it's kind of funny.
Little sneak. Yeah, no, it's a good. It's yeah, a good, yeah, yeah. It's actually pretty good. These little stupid kids. They got one explain? Here.
You can't say it.
Yeah, I'll text you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You'll text me. Okay, very good.
Add me to that text.
No, yeah, I got you. I got you. Right. You got it. Yeah.
Very good. Speaking of bird murders, the Hawks beat the Kings 133-1.
Oh, very nice. Oh, very nice.
Thank you so much. He gets
very nice.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah, there's nothing to say.
Just like, all right, there it was.
Yeah, this team quit. They stink. Like this is an embarrassment. Like, last night was absolutely rock bottom for this version of the organization. It doesn't mean they can't lose Friday. It doesn't mean they can't lose 10 more. But tomorrow was the moment, or yesterday was the moment where it's like, yeah, this is done. Mm. Like, you don't have a shot. And the fact that Doug cussed four times last night.
At least. Yeah.
And they just got progressively worse. You waved to the potential bird murderer, by the way.
Oh.
Like, yeah.
You said...
D-Lo's a bird murderer, but Katie walks by and says, oh, hi, Katie, from the wake-up call.
Well, yeah, because statistically, men are more likely to have murdered the bird.
And I've watched
a lot of Netflix documentaries.
I was about to say, don't put me, because I didn't do nothing to those birds. So don't put me in.
Nah, you killed a whole bunch of birds one summer.
You openly admitted to it.
I didn't do anything.
The animals have probably communicated on your street. Do not go to that guy's house.
I think they have.
Well, look, I hope they did.
They sent the mouse in to sabotage
the car. Yeah, they sent
the
mouse in to try and mess up the car, and the poor mouse didn't even make it.
Yeah, I hope so. Don't come to my house. I don't do that. I'll be calling Nick in a heartbeat. As a matter of fact, I need to text Nick.
We came
right
in
now.
Like every day for a week, man. It was a dead bird outside my house. Like, bro.
I didn't do it.
Hey, guys. Squirrel just got its leg snapped by the mousetrap.
Oh, once again, man.
Once again, I didn't lead him to the mousetrap. He didn't have to go into it.
Isn't there video of this?
No, not of the
That's not the mouse. Yeah,
what was that?
I can't remember which one that is.
We were trying to, that's before it got caught. And we were like trying to get it.
There was video of that.
Yeah.
That was the squirrel.
That was a squirrel, yeah.
Yeah.
Casey just walking into work. Hey, guys, it happened again. Another animal's dead.
And everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
I ain't do nothing.
Kenny again?
I ain't do nothing. But they need to be talking to each other. I know that much. Don't come around here.
That's something because
I won't do anything, but I'll call people who will.
Hiring hits on birds. That's crazy.
Shout out
to the birds.
I
didn't do nothing to the birds. The birds, I don't know what happened there. But the little rodents, don't come around here, dog.
Don't come around here no more.
They knew you was a Kings fan, and they just thought they could punk you.
That's what it was.
Facts.
That's what it was. I mean, look, that's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I've waffled back and forth. You guys know how I am, man. I ain't trying to disrespect nobody. I ain't trying to disrespect these players and what they've done and what they've accomplished in their careers over the course of being kids to the NBA.
Totally.
So I'm not trying to do that, but I've waffled back and forth. I mean, this looks like a bunch of quitters. A bunch of quitters. Matter of fact, I'm actually showing you respect by saying you quit to a certain degree. Because I think that you're a better player than to get your ass stomped out by 20, 30 points for the last four games. You can't be that bad. Zach LaVine, you can't be that bad of a basketball player. I believe you're a better basketball player than that. Domantas Sabonis, I believe you're a better basketball player. DeMar DeRozan, I think you're a better basketball player. Dennis Schroeder, I think you're a better basketball player than to have these teams come in here and stomp a mud hole in your ass for the better part of a week. You're a better basketball player than that. So the only explanation is you quit. That's got to be the only explanation because I think you're better than that. Talented-wise. Talent-wise. You quit.
Yep.
You're soft mentally and emotionally, and you quit. That's the only explanation for me. Yep. If they want to get upset and, you know, and take it personal, fine, do something. Take it personal. I don't care. At least you're doing something. Like, you looking like you don't care. Right. You don't care.
Right.
None of those guys on the team looking like they care about anything that's going on right now. And you said it earlier. This was a concern. I didn't think it'd be a concern 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah. This was a problem I thought would come up in January or post-trade deadline.
What did you think would come up?
Where they've quit. Like, I didn't think we'd be having this conversation in game 12.
Okay, but I looked at that first 19 games, and I mean, like, this was like a warning the whole time. Like, this thing could get really bad. So what do you think their reaction?
Yeah, but a week ago, they hadn't been blown out, and a week later, they've been nothing but blown out. Like, the losses, it's not the losses.
Right, right.
It's not. Like, you competed with Oklahoma City, and it's like, man, it sucks they can't figure out a way to win these games, but it feels like they're right there. 6 days later, it's like they're not right there. They're nowhere. They're not even close to the team they were 6 days ago.
No.
Right.
No. And that's the.
It's like it's been a dramatic shift in 6 days. And you're trailing the Hawks by 44?
Yeah, come on, man. No trade.
At home.
44!
At home.
Yeah.
No trade.
And you can see it. You could see it last night, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. Midway through the first quarter, the Hawks were playing like they knew.
I think it was the first play of the game that they had the ball where nobody picked up the guard at all. He walks all the way to the free throw line and was like, is literally no one going to defend me? Then he walked right around Domantas Sabonis and laid it up and was like,
And you heard the crowd went, the crowd like groaned. It was the first play.
Yeah.
The crowd groaned. Hammer was tweeting about them booing in the third quarter. They booed at that first time out when they were down 10.
Yep.
They're like, you can't, because everybody saw what we saw. They I don't care that they cut it to 4 at one point. They're losing. That 4-point deficit went back to 10 before you could blink.
Because they didn't cut the deficit. The young guys who are playing how Doug wants them to play cut the deficit. That's what happened. The young guys came in. They cut the deficit. It was a 44-point game. They lost by 30. Because the young guys came in and actually gave you something. It's just really sad.
Them starters don't care. They could give a damn about what's going on.
That's tough, man.
They don't care.
That's tough.
And once again, I'm saying that, and if people get upset or people that hang with them, listen to this and get upset, dog, there's a certain level of you can't be that sorry. Listen to what I'm saying. You can't be that sorry at basketball that you're just getting your ass beat by 40 every night. It has to be the fact that you don't care. They don't care, man. DeRozan, Sabonis, LaVine didn't play last night, but you said it earlier, James. I don't really get into that, but I had the same thoughts you did. Are you injured or you hurt?
Yeah, if you were eight and three going into last night, are you sitting?
You took a knee to the thigh, and you can't. All right, man. All right. Like, these guys don't care. They don't care, bro.
I care that you're listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ, HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Always free. On the Odyssey app.
That was fire.
So, since it's past 12 and it's D'Lo and KC, I'll take the reins here for a second so we can congratulate our man Kyle Madsen.
Yes, sir.
Who, when we complain about our boss now, and we talk about what an idiot our boss is, and God, this guy gets on my nerves, we're talking about Kyle Madsen.
Yeah, hey.
I got the chance to introduce Kyle Madsen as the new brand manager of ESPN this morning at the staff meeting. And I'll say to the Chatty House and to the people listening, what I said to all of our employees is you were built for this role. You know, this is something I envisioned for you when you first joined us 2 years ago, or how when the Insider started 2 years ago. And I just I couldn't be more excited for you. I couldn't be more proud of you. I felt like I've been able to follow your radio career since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thrilled for you, man. And I'm excited. I know how excited everybody is out there to work with you. And, you know, as great as Danny was, he's still alive. So as great as Danny is, you know, and Jesse's buddy in Portland. And, you know,
it's not true.
That's his guy.
Charlie did, you know, we all kind of try to do our best while Charlie was, you know, handling, you know, different things to have. You in here kind of overseeing and just doing all of the really, really important stuff that goes into running a radio station is exciting, man. And I'm very happy for you. I'm thrilled for you. Corporate Kyle is in full effect. The dress code starts tomorrow.
You already texted us this morning or do our timesheet.
Yeah, right.
Kyle Perry.
Yes, right. Right. But congratulations, man.
Thank you, man.
Congratulations.
I appreciate you.
Big shout out to Kyle, up, man. Look, I want to say something as well about resiliency. And I remember getting a tweet or text. I think it was just a tweet. I don't know if it was a text. I don't know. But we were sitting there at AEW.
It was a text.
It was a text.
You texted us when we were after you had your son ask me inappropriate questions.
Well,
oh, my God.
No, it just... I wasn't going.
I was like, yo, look at this text from Kyle.
D-Lo, why did my dad murder another bird?
Can't
but
answer,
yeah,
son.
You know, you've been let go from 95.7, man. And I know the passion that you have for this business and for sports and what you do. And I can only, you know, I didn't get let go from a radio station, but my podcast from the Athletic and stuff like that. And it's tough. It's tough.
For sure.
And you never let that get you down. You know, at least publicly.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And you kept pushing forward.
Yeah.
And a testament to resiliency and continuing to stay with something that you really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where people say, and I think Will Smith said before, your dreams and what you want to do is supposed to be crazy to others because they don't see the vision like you see it. Like, how are you going to get mad at them because they don't see it how you see it?
For sure.
And that's real. And you had a plan. You had a vision for what you wanted to do. And here we are 3-4 years later. You bossing up, man. So I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you, man. And it's just a testament to resiliency in this business, man. So shout
appreciate
out to
you, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to say nice things about me? This is great.
Well, Will Z is wondering if we're going into a full rebuild over here at ESPN 1320.
Yeah, I'm going to need a raise, Kyle.
Insiders is going nowhere, by the way. Kyle's still on the air. He's just added to his responsibilities.
I'm just busier before and after the show now.
That's right. that is so cute, sweetheart. No, you're busy during the show, too, because if you don't think those texts about needing something approved immediately aren't going to happen at like 10:20, sir, we'll sit down and talk after the show, because believe me, no one cares about you and James talking sports for 2 hours. When something needs to be approved, they need you to approve it.
We go on at 9:57, typically. I got a text from Aaron Miller at 9:56. Can you come see me?
Yep. Yeah.
Sure, man.
Why was I late? Complex texts me while I'm in studio. Hey, man, I need this recorded. Can you send it back to me? It's the turkey drive stuff for KSFM. So I run over. I'm like, hey, do you need this right now or can I do it after the show? He goes, no, I need it right now. Oh, okay. Cool, man. I guess I'll go do it.
Sick. Well, Complex is the brand manager, so I'll be texting you guys at inappropriate times. I can't wait.
Absolutely. No, definitely.
This is going to be awesome.
Kyle's going to be texting at 1:15. Hey, man, you busy?
Hey. Hey, I got something you need to record real quick. What is it? I don't know.
I just know I need to do it.
This feels like a thing I need to do. No, man, I don't want to belabor this, but...
what do you want to do? Talk about a 33-point loss instead? You can belabor this all you want to. It's still better content than that.
Well, Steph dropped 46 last night.
He did. Yeah, and that wasn't even the highest output of the night.
Dude, hang on. I want to talk about that box score real quick.
Goodness.
Kids running on the floor.
A big part of the reason I wanted to be here was because I believed in what you guys had all been building. And I'm really excited to see that through. And see that for
yes, sir.
So, great, salute to you guys. Fired up. Can't wait. And applause. Okay. So the Warriors box score thing, I was going over this with James earlier. So Steph had 46, which is like, wow. Golden State also took 57 three-pointers last night. They just said, to hell with Wemby. We're staying out here. We're not going there. What was the other one? Oh, they had two triple-doubles last night.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Castle, 23-10-10. Wemby, 31-15-10.
Sheesh.
They still lost.
And they lost.
And they lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spurs are coming, man. Spurs are good.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Yeah. They're good.
And they're a lot better earlier than I thought they'd be, too.
Yep. Yeah, same.
Was any of that the most impressive thing that happened last night?
Not even close.
Man. Was,
got Jokic's stat line there?
He had 55 last night.
He almost had 50 in the third, right?
He had 55, 12, and 6. He was 5 of 6 from 3.
Oof.
God.
This guy's something else.
Oh, he is.
He is something else. And
the good news is, out of that matchup at least, the Clippers are equally as sad as the Kings.
Well, then they may be buyers.
They have a little more excuses, but
they may be buyers.
Speaking of, I was clicking through some stuff. Did you guys notice? We did not clock this on our program, but you guys might have. Did you see how many points the Jazz scored in regulation?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Or the day before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
152 points? In a regulation basketball game?
Indiana, getting up and down. It has its drawbacks. Start giving up them points. Yeah. You know what's also, it's not equally impressive because Steph and obviously Joker, that takes the cake.
Mm-hmm.
But something that stuck out to me, I didn't see the final score of this game, but I saw when it was completely out of hand. Weren't the Thunder up by like 40 at some point on the Lakers last night?
It was never close.
I think it was 70-something to 30-something at some point.
29-point in the Lakers. Yeah, it was at least 36 going into the fourth.
Yeah, Lakers led by 36.
The Thunder. You said it, Damian. Like they might be pushing for a 70-win season.
Mm.
I think they might be pushing for clear of that. Because they still – I guess it's not news, but like Jalen Williams is not even playing yet.
No. The only drawback is they don't have three more games against the Kings.
Ah, good point.
So that might be the difference between 71 and 73.
To be fair, though, they treat every team like the Kings.
This is true.
Like this every team true. Just turns into Sacramento. Against them. They have so many wins. Oklahoma City does. By I was looking at this the other day. Let me get there.
While you're looking, this is their 2016.
Yes.
Like the 15 was like, oh man, they're here. They may have been more of a favorite than the Warriors were against the Cavs, but this is their. It's going to take a brilliant coach, a brilliant game plan, and a brilliant player to beat them in a 7-game series.
And even then, it may not matter.
I think the biggest thing in Game 7. Of 16 was fear.
Yeah.
Like we talk about this all the time. The final 5 minutes of that game, we watched it back. It's hilarious. Like it really, in hindsight, it's very funny to go back and watch. Well, maybe so not funny. For everybody.
So funny. I turn it on to get some yucks in.
But it's like, God, this is terrible.
So
like,
bad.
This is awful.
Yeah.
But then Clay, Bron, Kevin Love's big moment.
Yeah.
All of that, like, can any of that happen? Because this again, I don't know that it's 73, but I feel like 70 is, this is absolutely a thing.
Yeah. Oklahoma City won their season opener by 1 point in double overtime against the Rockets. Here are their, they also then beat the Pacers by 6 in double overtime.
That was double overtime too, yeah.
But here's their, so they won the first game by 1.
I don't think the Pacers have been competitive since.
No, they beat Golden State.
The Warriors,
yeah,
right.
They beat Golden State.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Here's
well,
their so
not the
they,
same.
They won by 1. 6, this is their margin of victory. 6, 17, 7, 6, 19, 31, 21, 31, 14, 24, 29. Like they're just dog walking. Everyone.
Man, without Jalen Williams.
Without Jalen Williams. And then they had a loss to Portland sprinkled in there, which I called. Nope, wrong button.
You listed the margin of victory. take out that 17-point win. What's the first two after the double overtime?
Take out the 17-point win? 7-6.
No.
And one was against the Kings.
It's not in the right order.
Oh. He's trying to get you to...
maybe they did it last night. Tuesday, they had the 6-7 cam.
They did
one.
That. They didn't do it last night.
Oh, they were smart enough to not do it last night. Fans would have told them to F off.
Hey, this is
wait, we're
going
to lose by 67?
And no fan would have... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Someone's like 6-7. All I see is like 6-4 down there.
There's no one 6-7 on the court.
No, I
we don't even have a 6-7 power forward.
6-7 is the first thing that has been like popular with the youths that I have just full blown not gotten.
Oh, no one gets it. It's okay. No one understands what this is.
Oh.
Even kids don't.
Oh.
We asked a 17-year-old. She's like, oh, it's nothing. We just do it. Like, it's on a stupid... I didn't even know it was on it. She sent me the god-awful song that it's from. It's like, oh,
it's from a song. Okay, that's what I mean.
It's from a song, yeah.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it's funny. And it's the first time that I've ever... I don't hate it. Like, do what makes you laugh. Like, that's fine. But it's the first thing that I've ever been like, ah. I have no idea the origin. I don't know the joke.
It is just steaming hot garbage. And now it's jumped the shark a little bit because...
It's like dabbing.
It's like it was funny when the first In-N-Out video hit. It was like, oh, that's crazy. Now it's like, okay, stop doing this. Like you lost. Yeah, like someone already did it. It was fun. Now it's over.
Did you see the video of... It was like a field trip day at a college game. And it was like middle schoolers, elementary
school. Yes.
I think they got to 67 or something like that. And they erupted in the gym.
So there was kids erupted. There was also kids went to a play? And they, because it was like, you know, I would call it Camp Day. Because they knew there were middle schoolers there. It was middle schoolers. They worked 6-7 into the play. And the kids were up in the balcony, and the camera pans to the balcony, and the kids are going nuts. The kids are going absolutely nuts for it.
That's hilarious. This is what happens, though, because Damien and myself, like, this is so stupid. Like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Come on now. We had to have something that...
Oh, so many things.
But what was it? You know what I was thinking? And I don't think this is it. This isn't as ridiculous as 6-7. But... can't touch this. Because people would shake my hand, give me a high five. Oh, can't touch this. Shut the hell
up. Yeah, but at least with that song, it was the biggest song on the planet.
True.
I mean, yeah, is it corny? Sure, but it was the biggest. Like, this is barely a TikTok record.
Yeah.
That was the biggest song on the planet.
The young kids know this song, though. It's not big enough where it's transcended where we know like the words of the song, but 18 to 12 year olds know the song like that. Like they know the song.
When I was like 18, 19,
you can't touch this.
When I was like 18, 19 years old, I was like, I will never be that old guy who doesn't get it. Like, I'm going to stay on top of all the pop culture. Nah, I gave up 10 years ago.
Well, you can stay on top. It's just stupid.
It doesn't mean
it's like dope. It's dumb.
No, but even like staying on top, like there's I will hear records on 102.5 that I'm like, ah, I don't know who that
I'll play a record on 102.5 where I'm like, ah.
I don't know who this is.
Complex we trust, I guess.
Leave DCLA out of this.
Oh, God, that record. I swear to God. Oh, God. I hate that song. There are some times where I wish I could go on KSFM. I hate that crap. I don't know why you guys love this song, but do people still do the dub, the West Coast W, right?
Yeah.
Because that was tough for
West Side. 2 years. That's a good call. West Side.
Yeah.
Might have been our 6-7.
West Side. So that was Cube. So Pac started this though, right? Uh-huh. And then Cube started the West Side.
Yeah, and it would get corn. Like you would get like,
oh yeah, it
you'd
got,
get the accountant on the West Side.
You'd have Billy Gunn doing it in blackface, and you know it jumped the shark.
Oh my God,
Jesus.
Mom,
so maybe
Dad
that was our 6-7.
I'm black.
I think for my generation, video games were so prominent that we didn't have anything like that because everybody was inside playing video games.
Hadouken!
Yeah. Hey, Kenny, we have an update here. Do you want to read that update real quick?
Let's see.
Oh, what do we got?
From Sham Sharania.
An MRI today on Orlando Magic star Paolo Banchero.
Oh, boy.
Confirmed a left groin strain.
Nailed it.
I always nail it.
No, pause. On pause.
You would not be slept on no more, brother.
pause.
No, I think that was good.
That's the same thing I always say.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
It definitely is not.
You guys gotta get your hearing checked.
You know I can press a button right now to prove you wrong.
All you in the chatty house too. You need to get your hearing checked.
What's it called, Damon?
No, no, it's not. It's not there. Oh. It's here. Here.
You have it.
Yeah, no, stand by. I just got to remember where it's at.
I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, okay, so just
what y'all talking about.
Just to be clear, you believe you say it properly every time.
Yes. Say it the same way every
Survey
time.
Survey says.
Yeah, I'm stalling for time because I can't find
okay,
it.
Okay, great. Because it seems, I don't know, I've not been on the program. Based on what the Chatty House is saying,
got it.
Okay,
they can't hear either.
/...
Lakers looking rough right now.
What did AD have? Were they
growing?
They were hip spasms.
Yeah, it was right? Hip and growing. Same thing. Bam.
No, it's not, Kenny.
It's the exact same thing. Y'all
this
tripping.
Is one of my favorite things.
Y'all tripping. I don't know what's
that,
going on.
That you called him sweetie earlier. You called me sweetie on the air yesterday. Also, we're all a bunch of sweeties. That's what happens when you hang out with a bunch of little girls in your house. A bunch of teenagers and under, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Paolo Banchero.
Oh.
I
sure.
You get a quitting-ass team like the Sacramento Kings. You bet your ass I'm going to Tankathon and seeing what the mock drafts is looking like and all this other stuff. Koa Pete out of Arizona, he reminds me of Paolo Banchero. They say Paolo, Blake Griffin, he reminds me of that. Now, he's not.
I don't think Paolo and Blake Griffin are that similar.
I don't think so either. He's kind of a hybrid because he's a little bit more, talking about Pete, he's more of a little bit more of an athlete than Paolo, but he's not the athlete Blake Griffin is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's more of a creator shooter from different spots on the floor
sure.
than Blake Griffin was mm-hmm. and that Paolo is. So, yeah, because he's looked at in some of these mock drafts like sixth or seventh.
Oh.
He's looked at around there. And I as sorry as the Kings are, as much as they quit left and right, I don't know if they'll get to that Brooklyn, New Orleans status.
I don't think so.
Which either. Is like 1, 2, 3, 4 or something like that.
Although with the way the lottery goes, who knows?
This is true.
They're kind of there. I mean, that's the thing. Like someone asked in the chat, I think it was Norm, like if you're more in on, oh, here we go. Kenny in favor of a tank now. It's like, you don't have to be in favor of a tank. Yeah. It's right there in front of you. Like a tank is a tank. It's sitting right there.
A tank is rolling through. You're not going to go, oh, it's a
Mazda. Just took up four parking spots.
And on top of that, like, you can call it what you want. Like, I don't care about no tank or no plane to win. Like, you got to get the picks right. I don't care what you call it. Like, you can call it whatever you want. If you tank and pick these sorry players, it don't work.
Mm-hmm.
If you win games and push forward and get eliminated in the play-in, but you find a Jalen Williams, that's great. Like, right. I don't care what you do. Just get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm looking.
And I would say you're expressly against a tank because if you weren't, you would not be upset with how they played yesterday. It would be like, great, none of these guys are going to be around anyway. I'm rooting for losses. Nice work.
I was disgusted by how they play.
And it was bad. It was
and
really
that's
bad.
Because I hear a lot of people today talking about, oh, we told you they were going to be bad. It's not about like it. The losing.
Yes.
It is about the fact that they quit. And I think that's what has
in
Doug so.
12.
That's what has Doug so pissed off. Like if they were to lose, like if they're not good enough to beat Denver, OKC, Minnesota, and they're losing by 7, mm-hmm. by 5, whatever the case. I don't think we see all this from Doug. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're showing no heart and they're just quitting
at home.
At home mm-hmm. pisses them off and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like you can lose, you cannot be good enough to win. And I can respect that. I can't respect totally. No quitting, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And when it's an 8-point game, And the final 5 minutes, team goes on a 15-1 run, and you miss some shots, and they make some shots, and it turns out to be a 20-point loss. Like, that's so much different than halfway through the first quarter going, oh, no. Like, oh, they're going to lose by many, many points tonight, which is what last night was, which is what that game against Indiana when Mike Brown was here felt like. It's like, oh, boy, different circumstance, but same kind of idea.
But, you know, it happens, like, almost every year, like, where you get beat like this. You just don't want to have it be, like, a string of them. I remember, you know, Tyrese Haliburton asked, you know, is this a low point? And he goes, bro, we lost by 44 last year to the Hawks, I think it was. He said, we got here at home. We got absolutely crushed. So, no, this isn't the low point. That was a low point. This is just another point. Oof. That's not a good thing. It's just like, but that's like, I thought Doug Christie last night, that was like an honest, that was Doug Christie. The day before, I didn't like the 2 minute thing that was like, no. Last night was like the real Doug Christie, angry, pissed, expressing why he's angry and pissed because he's getting embarrassed. They're embarrassing the city of Sacramento. His players aren't responding, but that's on them. They have to play better. They have to play harder.
But now Doug has to act on this.
Yeah.
Like, he has to.
That's it.
There are guys who can't start tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's changes that he has to make. If he thinks guys like Neat Clifford and Keon, then play him.
Yep.
Like if your biggest issue is competing, if that truly is your biggest issue, put the guys out there who you think are competing.
Yeah.
You have to.
I agree.
Like, even if you don't think it gives you the best, you have to put, if your message is, we're not competing, sit DeMar DeRozan's ass down. If DeMar DeRozan is taking 6 shots in a game or whatever, sit his ass down. DeMontis Sabonis, not Drew Eubanks, can play. Precious been here 2.5 minutes. He out there playing just fine. Doug has to make a change. So he has to follow up his words with actions now.
That's it.
I was shocked when I saw the starting lineup. But I that's not fair. I was surprised when I saw the starting lineup last night. Because I thought he's going to use this opportunity, even with Zach LaVine out, to try something different with Russell Westbrook and perhaps Neek, perhaps Keon. No, same thing. He can't do that tomorrow. Not after what he said in postgame. He can't do that tomorrow.
Nope.
Doug and Scott need to have those conversations with those people again about being participants or prisoners or whatever he said. And if I was Scott, well, this is the last time I'm talking to you. Because if you're telling me you want to be here and this continues, that I'm not talking to you no more. I'm just going to ship your ass out of here.
See,
because you can say whatever you want to me. The way that you carry yourself and the way that you play on that court tells me everything I need to. Matter of fact, we might not even have to get out of the office. We don't even need to have a discussion.
So that's what
you'll
I'm saying.
You'll tell me what you want
to
do.
We don't need to have this discussion again, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes.
Sure.
Because for a guy like DeMar, a guy like Domas, this is your second time. Y'all didn't want Mike here. You were very vocal about that. Now we got Doug in here, and now y'all don't want to play here either? I'm like, Kenny, get the hell out of my office then. That's fine. It's cool. You don't have to play. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to show up. Go home. I'll figure out something for you.
Who is that? Drummond? Dude, Andre Drummond, man. Just sit down until
Drummond, Carmelo. There's like 20 guys that teams have just set. Nah, just go home.
We'll work Jimmy on Butler. A trade. Yeah, we'll work on a trade. It's good.
Vivek, suspend him and leave the country. Just like they did in Miami. Well, not here. You can't come off suspension until the owner gets back.
Yeah, he's on a boat.
It's embarrassing, man. We'll talk about all of that stuff coming up.
Fireworks.
Matt George had a hell of a podcast this morning, too. He's going to join us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour.
Matt George said YOLO for our generation, by the way.
Yeah, that was one I never did. Like, I didn't like that one. I don't. So when you say our generation, you mean yours and Matt's.
Yeah. The millennial generation. Sounds
about right. Yeah, because that was not a thing for me.
All right. No.
Do it again tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, great.
Something like
James
that.
James Hamm and I, 10 a.m. with the Insider. Shout out to Jesse Tapia helping us out. D'Lo and Casey next. Till tomorrow at 10. Drink water. Be nice.
Can't touch this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.